If you've listened to my show, you know I really take Super Beats every day, but sometimes I get so caught up in my busy schedule that I can forget. And that's why I'm excited to tell you guys about their fantastic new product, Super Beats Soft Chews. Super Beats Soft Chews gives me all of the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats packed into two delicious soft chews that I can take with me wherever I go. And Super Beats Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural energy in your body. They use highly concentrated premium grape seeds sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. The grape seed extract used in Super Beats Soft Chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Get your Super Beats Soft Chews today at danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third bag for free. That's danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617. Whoo! Are you guys recovered? I'm not recovered. Welcome to the show. We have a ton of stuff to discuss today. I kind of maybe intentionally tried to sound like Marianne Williamson just then. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. I did you a solid last night, everybody. I just want to let you know, I did you a solid. I am so good to you. You know what I did? You know how I spent my evening? I spent my evening actually watching this insane three hour.
Yeah, 3 hours.
It seemed a lot longer than that, but I watched this completely insane Democrat primary debate. And I have to tell you, it's like one of the most ridiculous things I think I've ever seen in my life, because we have so much audio for you today about it. And then additionally, we're going to be awarding, because we were talking about this all yesterday, debate awards, like the best this, the best that. And I made 12 of them. And then there's one that I think we're going to have audience feedback about. But the debate on ABC, it started at 7 Central, 8 Eastern, and then somewhere around 8:40, I realized, holy cow, we have another hour of this. And then my eyes glaze over, and I just didn't want to listen. Now, hold up, before we get into everything, and if you follow me on Facebook, official Dana Lash on Facebook, or if you follow me on Twitter at DLash, I was doing live updates and keeping up with everything. But I had, and this will be relevant to the story, and only as it relates, only because of my interest. So I had my dinner last night while we were doing this was garlic cheese with paprika seasoning and Axa summer sausage. And so about 8:40, I'm like, I can't believe there's another hour of this. I might as well just cram the rest of this cheese and sausage and just my eyes glaze over. And I, for about 15 minutes, I'm not going to lie, I don't know what happened because I stopped caring. So I just wanted to let you guys know that, because if you're like, well, do you remember this one? And if I don't remember it or have a note about it, it probably happened within that 15-minute span. So anyway. So, and then we're going to here, beginning probably around the bottom of the hour, we'll start giving out those awards. But let's begin, because it was the debate last night, ladies and gentlemen. The Democrat debate, the primary debate, 10 people. Right off the bat, I don't think that it changes a single dang thing. Nothing changed last night. Nothing changed because this primary fight right now, ultimately, it's just Joe Biden's to lose. It's his to lose. He's still going to maintain a double-digit lead. And the only way that anything is going to screw that up is if he does something so monumentally stupid. Now, the night is young, ladies and gentlemen. The night is young. But it's the only way that he is going to lose it is if he messes it up. It is still a three-way race. I want to let you know that it took approximately, so this was after introductions. So they had introductions. It took approximately 28 minutes before any other candidate other than Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, or Joe Biden spoke. The first half hour of the whole debate was just the top three going back and forth. Everyone else was like a prop. They were a stage prop. So there were a couple of huge moments with this as well. First off, the debate opened And you had Jorge Ramos, who was one of the individuals there for Univision. And for about a minute, as part of the intro in ABC, I had no idea what the hell was happening because he was speaking in Spanish. And I know like five words and all of the cuss words. Thank you to my Spanish, to my Mexican college friends who taught me every dirty word in the Spanish language. So that's what they use their skills for. They didn't say any of those words, so I only knew like a handful of them. Had they spoke Canadian French, that would have been different, though. So I have to start off with 27, audio soundbite 27, because remember, Andrew Yang, he said his campaign folks said he was going to do something absolutely unprecedented. He's going to do something so dang different at this primary debate. You guys don't even know what, oh, you're not going to be able to handle it. And then, boom, 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 he did it. Listen.
In America today, everything revolves around the almighty dollar. Our schools, our hospitals, our media, even our government. It's why we don't trust our institutions anymore. We have to get our country working for us again instead of the other way around. We have to see ourselves as the owners and shareholders of this democracy rather than inputs into a giant machine. When you donate money to a presidential campaign, what happens? The politician spends the money on TV ads and consultants, and you hope it works out. It's time to trust ourselves more than our politicians. That's why I'm going to do something unprecedented tonight.
Gosh, what's he
going
to do?
My campaign will now give a freedom dividend of $1,000 a month for an entire year to 10 American families, someone watching this at home right now. If you believe that you can solve your own problems better than any politician, go to yang2020.com and tell us how $1,000 a month will help you do just that.
His freedom dividend actually panned out to about $625. Is about 620. That's what it ended up being. His freedom dividend ended up actually not.
I think freedom costs more than that.
He wanted to pay $625 an hour. That's what his freedom dividend is. $625 an hour.
Freedom costs more than that.
Freedom isn't free.
Don't sing that.
It costs folks like you and me. So he's his giant fart of an offer fell flat. I just wanted to say a bunch of F's. So he, So
like Publishers Clearinghouse is what it sounds like.
Is that illegal? Isn't it illegal to be like, vote for me and I'll pay you?
Yes.
What's so funny is that the audience reaction afterwards was nothing. He pauses because he wants people to applaud. It's so awkward. Oh my gosh. And he stopped and he paused and nobody did anything. And then you could hear Kamala Harris laughing. And then Pete Buttigieg goes, wow, that's original. Which was the one actually true funny comment of the night. So that was so awkward. That was so incredibly awkward. That was his big thing. I was really wanting something else, you know, something big to happen. Okay, so the other, because there were some, that's how essentially, that was the big thing that kicked off, right? And then there were, we have some other pretty incredible moments here. The other thing that took place, when we have Julian Castro going after Joe Biden. I'm going to get into that. We have Klobuchar versus Bernie. And by the way, Bernie and Elizabeth Warren kept their non-aggression pact going. Did you guys notice that? They weren't going after each other. They kept that non-aggression pact going. And then you had Bader, audio soundbite one. Well, this was pretty much everything he said. If we condensed all of his responses down, it would just be guns, 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 guns. And then Kamala Harris is all, I'm afraid of my record. And Pete Buttigieg is all, I'm gay. And Julian Castro is like, I'm a lawyer. Listen.
On August 3rd in El Paso, Texas, two things became crystal clear for me and I think produced a turning point for this country. The first is just how dangerous Donald Trump is, the cost and the consequence of his presidency. A racism and violence that had long been a part of America was welcomed out into the open and directed to my hometown of El Paso, Texas, where 22 people were killed, dozens more grievously injured by a man carrying a weapon he should never have been able to buy in the first place, inspired to kill by our president.
Well, if that's the route that we want to go down, First off, the guy was an eco-terrorist, so he was hardly... And he said a bunch of stuff that a lot of other people had said, but I know that doesn't matter because people desperately want... Actually, they really wish that it was Trump with that dude's face as a mask who went down there and did it. If that's the path that they want to take, okay, well then, Dayton, the guy was a registered Democrat, and he was an Elizabeth Warren supporter, and he had all kinds of political stuff, repeating the phrases of Democrat politicians on his social media footprint. So you could say then Democrats are responsible for Dayton. You could say then that Democrats are responsible for the Bernie Sanders staffer who tried to assassinate a bunch of congressional members at a ball field. You could go ahead and say Democrats are responsible for that as well. I mean, we could go back and then we could start looking at the party affiliation of all of these individuals, including the individual who tried to take out Gabby Giffords, who was apparently a big old devil worshiper and a leftist. So is that what you guys want to do? Because I think it's incredibly stupid. But if they want to have that kind of contest, okay. I think it's ridiculous, but that's what you guys are trying to go for. This is just insane. This is insane. And that was just the very beginning of what ended up happening. This was the other big thing. I was talking about this. Audio soundbite 2. Bader, again.
El Paso is your hometown. Some on this stage have suggested a voluntary buyback for guns in this country. You've gone further. You said, quote, Americans who own AR-15s and AK-47s will have to sell them to the government, all of them. You know the critics call this confiscation. Are you proposing taking away their guns, and how would this work?
I am. If it's a weapon that was designed to kill people on a battlefield, hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against our fellow Americans anymore.
So that was he's the passion candidate. He's doing this because he barely qualified for this debate. He barely qualified, and he's trying to do whatever he can to stay in the game. He has to stay in the campaign long enough to pay his campaign debt and maybe get a book deal. That's why he's got to make this last as long as possible to pay the debt that he's accrued from campaigning. He bought into the whole hype when Democrats ran him in Texas, thinking that he was something more than just an avatar used to drum up more Democrat voters. But I want to point out something because this led to a bigger controversy. So there was a lawmaker named Briscoe Kane, Texas lawmaker, which is the most Texas name I've ever heard in my life. Briscoe Kane. If he doesn't love barbecue, which he probably does, I mean, it's so Texas name. And Briscoe Kane had tweeted him, and I have it here. He had tweeted with this. Yeah, well, and this was after Beto O'Rourke, by the way, was he had stated, yes, hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15. Briscoe Kane tweeted, my AR is ready for you, Robert Francis. Beto O'Rourke says, this is a death threat, representative. Clearly, you shouldn't own an AR and neither should anyone else. Now, my response to this is that saying that you're going to take someone's guns, that's a statement of promised action. It is lawless violence against innocent people. Saying that you are going to defend yourself from said lawless violence is not a threat, particularly because it's predicated upon the promised action should it come to fruition. So stop defending state-sanctioned threats. Stop it. I love all these people that want to bash the men and women in blue all damn day. But when you got lawmakers out there calling people terrorists and saying that they're going to use forcible violence, because how the hell else do you think you're going to go door to door to terrorize law abiding people and take their lawfully owned property? Then you're OK with that? Tell me how hard you America again, for crying out loud. When I hear stuff like that, I speak in 1776. That's my response. But that's not a threat. And I think that it's irresponsible of him to say stuff like that. I have more on this as well coming up. So we have the awards that we're going to do, the biggest woke scolds, all kinds of stuff, and also some of the worst and worstest moments. We've got that for you, too. We're also going to get into, we got Florida Man. We have Today in Stupidity. I have some hate mail also. So we got a lot of stuff. Kel-Tec, great friends of mine, and they make some pretty awesome stuff. I was talking to my friend Jesse Waters because I was taping something with him earlier today. And he was saying, well, you know, if you had to do something, you know, if you like, what do you like for home defense? And I'm like, well, there's a lot of things I like for home defense. And I said, one of the things that I like, because you always use your handgun, you always use your pistol to get to your rifle, right? Your pistol to get to your long gun. And one of my favorite home defense guns is the KS7. It's a tactical shotgun, because you have to think statistically, a lot of defensive usages occur in a lot of more close contexts and close quarters than you would imagine. And the KS7 is lightweight, it's compact, bred for personal defense at home. You can take it out backcountry, 18 and a half inch barrel, 26.1 inches overall length. You have M-lock slots on the carry handle and on the pump and stock. The single tube mag holds 6 3-inch shells plus one chambered. If you want to do 2 3/4 inches, it holds 7 plus 1. And it has the patented Kel-Tec downward shell ejection, so shells are free out of your line of sight. It is a BA. Think about it. That's what it is. So that's one of the things. If somebody's going to bust up in my home, well, you know, hi, here's my KS7. It's also great to take to the range and have some fun with it as well. It's a 12-gauge pump-action micro beast. Check it out. KeltecWeapons.com, KELTECweapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you. If you've listened to my show, you know I really take Super Beats every day, but sometimes I get so caught up in my busy schedule that I can forget. And that's why I'm excited to tell you guys about their fantastic new product, Super Beats Soft Chews. Super Beats Soft Chews gives me all of the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats packed into two delicious soft chews that I can take with me wherever I go. And Super Beats Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural energy in your body. They use highly concentrated premium grape seeds sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. The grape seed extract used in Super Beats Soft Chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Get your Super Beats Soft Chews today at danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third bag for free. That's danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617.
It's The Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, as you know why we were playing Eddie Money. Gosh, he had just an amazing voice. Eddie Money passed away today at 70 years old. The family read a statement saying, or provided a statement saying, quote, "The Money family regrets to announce Eddie passed away peacefully early this morning. It is with heavy hearts that we say goodbye to our loving husband and father. We can't imagine our world without him. We're grateful that he will live on forever through his music." He had been diagnosed with cancer. Well, he had stage 4 esophageal cancer is what he had. And of course, he had so many hit songs. And, you know, he had some struggles in life, but his music is still amazing. So Eddie Money, at 70 years old, today on Friday the 13th, passed away. Sad stuff, because he was awesome. Moving on down the line here, public supermarkets are banning open carry, but they're not banning concealed carry. They're just simply asking customers to not openly carry at their stores, and I'm fine with that. And I hope that other individuals don't start going after Publix with all this stuff as well, because they still allow concealed carry, but they just say, you know, just don't openly carry. So that's not a victory for the anti-gun crowd. Colorado counties are refusing to enforce red flag gun laws, a number of them, according to KTVZ Channel 21. I've talked to a number of sheriffs as well, including they had Weld County Sheriff Steve Reams. He said that he'd rather go to jail than enforce something so unconstitutional. Thank you to those law enforcement officers who are holding the line. So coming up, the latest debate recap and some debate fallout. Stay with us.
Broadcasting from the Lone Star State to your town.
The Dana Show.
And while Bernie wrote the bill, I read the bill. And on page 8, on page 8 of the bill, it says that we will no longer have private insurance as we know it. And that means that 149 million Americans will no longer be able to have their current insurance. That's in 4 years. I don't think that's a bold idea. I think it's a bad idea.
Oh, boy. So she, Amy Klobuchar, who was going back and forth with Bernie Sanders last night, make no mistake, all of their plans are the same damn thing. Kamala Harris kept saying, well, you know, my plan isn't, it's actually not, it's not going to abolish private insurance. Actually, it does. It just takes 10 years to do it. I mean, it literally says it. I mean, and it does. And Amy Klobuchar, who seemed to be more, she was the moderate of all of them, which is crazy because she's not even a moderate. But she's, you know, she contradicted all of them by saying, look, your plans all abolish private insurance, which they do. Kamala's just takes the longer to do. Hers takes a decade. So we had some moments that we awarded some awards last night. Some of them were based on some of your suggestions, and I was trying to keep it down to like 10, 12. And I, some of it, it is, they're all the same. All of them really could ultimately win any of these categories. But let's go ahead and give some out. Kick that in.
Are we doing this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, we're doing it. That's why I said it. Yeah.
Probably should have sang or something, but
I feel good about how it starts.
This is the longest intro ever.
Well, it was there a three-hour debate, yeah.
It was a three-hour debate.
It was the bee's knees.
It was the bee's knees. So it is our debate awards, our Democrat primary debate awards. All right, so the honestly, the one of the biggest, let's just start with the first one that was suggested by the Real Conservative. The biggest gaffe of the evening. And there were some really big ones. I think all of them could win this, but let's go with Joe Biden. I guess he forgets that he's no longer VP. Audio send by 20.
20 it is. Republican Congress has not reauthorized it. Let's put pressure on them to pass the Violence Against Women Act now. But then
yeah,
go
but
back.
You didn't answer the question. Well, the question is, did you make a mistake with those deportations?
The president did the best thing that was able to be done at the time.
How about you?
I'm the vice president of the United States.
Secretary Castro.
He also, I don't understand what this was. And I'm not going to sit here and make fun of him. I think this is just Joe. But can I be real? I didn't own a record player. And I'm not, you know, like a 20-year-old. So what is, let's listen to this. Audio soundbite 19.
Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night. The phone, make sure the kids hear words.
Steve, we got to make sure you damn kids hear words. Keep your all's record player on at night.
I fell asleep. I couldn't switch to the B side. I fell asleep.
I don't know what that meant. What did that mean?
Flipping the record?
No, I meant when he was saying keep the record player on at night.
Kids need to hear words.
Can I just ask a really weird question? Did people ever fall asleep to record players? And if so, did they keep them on through the night? And then what happens when it got to the end?
It would stop automatically.
No, but I know. But didn't it just keep going? Or no, I don't. Yeah, like that. Isn't that annoying? Seriously, I'm asking legitimately. You're really curious.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work.
Who the hell do we know that owns one?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't want to hear from the vinyl snobs.
Some
hipster that takes a record player to Starbucks is going
to
show up.
I used to have a record player, though, that you could set other records on top of the thing, right? And so when that record actually finished, the arm would go back to the beginning, and then another record would drop down.
You know who used to have a record player? My stepdad.
Yeah?
And every Sunday, he would lay three records out. And one was James Taylor. The other one, I can't remember
Fleetwood
if it was
Mac?
Skinnerd or no. And then the other was Aretha Franklin for my mom. And he would put it on the... I need to ask. You know what? I'm going to text my mom right now. Hold up. It's live radio right now. This is going to be weird, but let's roll with it, all right?
All right.
Just gonna be like, Mom.
I mean, a record player is going to be now donated for...
Radio question.
Take things for kids.
From debate. Did my stepdad, because I'm not going to tell you.
And is vinyl making the quasi
ever
comeback?
Leave the record player on all night.
Maybe.
Okay. Maybe, I'm going
to
ask her.
Maybe Biden was listening to like Indagata DeVita. Doesn't that take the whole side for the one song?
Wasn't
remember
that drunk when he did it?
Yeah.
That's right.
Indagata DeVita, baby. I don't know who does that, but okay. So I'm gonna when I get an update from my mom, I'm going to be like, did he ever? I don't ever remember him doing that.
I think vinyl's making a slow comeback, though, honestly.
Everybody says that every year.
No.
Yes, they do.
Not every
Everybody
year.
Says it. They're like, vinyl's making
that.
A comeback.
I don't know about that.
It's making a comeback.
I don't know about
so
that.
So making
I don't
one.
Think it's every
okay,
year.
So the next one. Let me open up my. Here we go. The least percentage Native American on stage, as suggested by listener Seth. And that's Elizabeth Warren.
Of course.
I'm surprised that when she was talking about her history, she didn't get into that. I will say something, though. Elizabeth Warren did not hurt herself at all last night. She really tried to come out and seem... She had one of her big lines was, does anyone actually like their insurance company? They like their doctors. That was her big line.
Right.
So we also have... let's see here. I want to get some other ones so we can get some audio with it. We had the biggest lie of the night, and that the award for biggest lie went to Joe Biden, who denied that he ever kept kids in cages during the Obama administration. Audio soundbite 14, ladies and gentlemen.
What Latinos should look at is comparing this president to the president we have is outrageous. Number one, we didn't lock people up in cages. We didn't separate families. We didn't do all of those things. Number one. Number two, by the time this is a president who came along with the DACA program. No one had ever done that before. This is the president who sent a legislation to the desk saying he wants to find a pathway for the 11 million undocumented in the United States of America. This is the president who's done a great deal. So I'm proud to have served.
Wow. So that's a lie because he did. And we know that he did. We absolutely know that he did.
All the pictures they were circulating in the beginning of this whole story was the pictures from 2014.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know why they would say that. We're going to give out some more awards here as well. Some of the other, they're boycotting ABC, and by they, I mean Democrats, because of an ad that was run by a Republican group. It's a group that's they're not affiliated with the party. They're a bunch of Republicans, and it's called New Faces GOP. And the ad that they ran, the tweet that they put out, and this was during the debate, it ran on ABC, and it says, "We have a choice. Will we let socialists like AOC be the face of our future, or will a new generation of conservatives step up and lead us? We are launching New Faces GOP to help identify and support the next generation of GOP leaders. Learn more." So it was basically socialism is a bad, horrible thing. And so the ad starts off, and you see Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's face, and then it does the Ken Burns zoom in thing, and then a fire burns her picture, and as the fire opens up a hole in the picture, then you see skulls and children from concentration camps, and then oh my gosh, it's bad, like death and destruction. And then Elizabeth Heng says, yeah, socialism's bad, etc. And of course, AOC, who has never met a victim opportunity that she, I mean, really, ultimately, it was like anything with the Democrats like last night, it was like watching politics, SVU unit, special victims unit. That's what it was like. Because she immediately tweets, Republicans are running TV ads, setting pictures of me on fire to convince people that they aren't racist. Well, you know what's weird is that you think every disagreement with you is racist, which is racist. Stop trying to dodge your accusations and legitimate questions on your capability as a lawmaker or wealth of knowledge by, it's racist. No, it's just you're not intelligent. But you always fall back on identity politics, and that is the refuge of the non-intelligent, to constantly fall back on, well, if you disagree with me, you're racist. That's stupid. That if you disagree with me, you're a sexist then. How about that? See how stupid it is? Legitimate criticism is legitimate criticism. So apparently, Democrats also now hate free speech because you have Rashida Tlaib, who immediately took to the social twitter.com to say the mere act of burning her image is a display of violence. No, it is not, you epic morons. It is not a display of violence. Apparently, you hate free speech. Is it a provocative ad? Yes. Would I perhaps maybe have done it differently? Yes. But was it done so to get your attention? Yes, because guess what? Now everyone's talking about it. And they all have to say that, well, we're socialists, but we're not socialists like those socialists. And that's a really uncomfortable position for them to be in. So it kind of did its job, I guess. But Rashida Tlaib goes, the mere act of burning her image is a display of violence. Folks need to stick to facts and policy positions. Wait, was this before or after you were saying that everything's racist? They need to stop fear-mongering. What? And more importantly, demonizing members of Congress. Wait, I'm sorry. Which anti-Semitic remark about lawmakers and or allies were you wanting to exclude from this? And then she goes, no one puts her residents first like AOC. Like that time she chased away all those jobs and the billions of dollars in tax revenue from Amazon.
Way to go.
Woo! We don't want your money in tax revenue. We don't want to put any of that towards increased infrastructure, transportation, or our schools. Go to hell. Look at me, virtue signal warrior.
Was that your Marion Williamson impression?
I can't stop impersonating her. I really, you know what the debate needed last night? It needed Marion Williamson to walk out with some like crystals or something and just, you know, maybe take a tea light candle and one of those oil burner things like that's made out of clay or terracotta, I was thinking, and just put it on one of the podiums and then light the tea light candle and maybe put some lavender essential oils in the top and let the calmness of the mixture of lavender and maybe some chamomile just sort of waft throughout the stage and chase away the darkness, the dark energy. And then she could walk around and, you know, with her crystal shards like she was a Gelfling. And it would, you know, and then she could maybe chase away some of the meaner politicians on stage like they were Skeksis or something. I don't know. I'm just really missed her last night. I missed her because she doesn't care. And it's so fun. She is so fun. I disagree with her so much on things, but she's fun. If we were all like, hey guys, let's go get fajitas and have margaritas. And I'd be like, yay. And then if we get there to the place where we're having fajitas and margaritas, I would be like, I want to sit by Marianne. So anyway, there you go. So now they hate free speech. I'm just saying, by the way, all the same people that are bitching about this ad, do you remember that ad that Ralph Northam made where they hired somebody to play a Trump supporter driving around a truck that had a Tea Party sticker and they were running over black kids? Do you guys remember that ad? That's what he literally made an ad featuring an actor in a big old truck, and he had a Trump sticker on his truck and he had a Tea Party sticker on his truck. And the only thing, because this is what Ralph Northam thinks of Republicans, the only thing that this guy driving the truck wanted to do was run him down some minority children. That's all he wanted to do. So, I mean, they forget that they made this ad. I'm just saying.
That sounds like violence.
It sounds, I mean, that actually is. Right. You know, I mean, because a picture is not a person.
Picture. Burning a picture or running.
And all the kids were going, run! The Trump supporting Tea Party sticker guy in a truck is coming! And it just showed these scared children all over the neighborhood just scattering. And they were so terrified as this guy was like, since you won't go home, I'm going to drive you over or something. I don't know. And then, do you remember the Kathy Griffin with the head and then holding the head of Trump?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. But that was okay.
But burning pictures. Or though,
what about, hold up. What about the, I need to look at this because who was it? The woman who stabbed the Trump pinata, but she didn't like stab it like I'm going to get the candy out of it. She stabbed it like I'm crazy and I've done this before. I mean, that's what it was like. Do you remember this? This woman, there was an effigy. And I don't mind political, I don't mind speech, but it was just a little crazy. This woman, Daily Caller had video where she is stabbing the ever-loving HE double hockey sticks out of this pinata with a knife so big, it's like she just finished doing another Friday the 13th film and she just took one of the knife props and decided to go. And her friends are all laughing and she's stabbing it like, you know, she's done this before.
Yeah, that's
and screaming stuff.
How pinatas work?
That's not that. And you are half Hispanic, so you are an expert on this.
Yep, I'll accept a baseball bat or a broomstick, but not much more than that.
Yeah, that's not how the pinatas work, because you don't get the candy out that way. I mean, so I'm just curious. They're all mad. They're all mad now after all that stuff. Okay, yeah. We have more to come, folks. I hope you don't go anywhere. On the way, we got more of the debate awards, and then also more of Beto versus Briscoe Kane, the guy who simply said, "Don't rob me, bro." And then Beto was like, "Threat." So we have that. And I have a ton more. Oh my gosh, I have so many things. I don't even know where we're going to start at. So anyway, as we get moving on. Oh, you know what I haven't done today? Oh, I haven't done my Super Beats soft chews, which is probably okay because I ate half the bag yesterday. So that means it's a whole new day. I can go, really, they're Chardonnay chews. Let's be real, ladies. I mean, gents, you can have them too. But if it's too early in the day for your Chardonnay, just get you a Super Beats soft chew. And the reason I say this is because, first off, two things. If you don't want to drink the Super Beats drink mix because you're like, I don't know about the taste. Okay, then these literally were made for you. Because it's like candy. It's healthy, but my body's like, let's go ahead and eat it, a bunch of it, because it's like candy. However, it's made with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, and that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, natural energy in your body. And they use the highly concentrated, let's just be real, they're fancy grapes, premium grapes. They're only sourced from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. That's actually legitimate. And they're Chardonnay grapes. That's why I said the Chardonnay chews. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats soft chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. I used it as part of my recovery yesterday after leg day, which I'm still so sore I can barely sit down. Boost your heart health easily and on the go with Super Beats soft chews. Get your Super Beats soft chews today at danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. When you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third for free. So eat the third one or hide it and then just pretend, oh, I only got the two bags with your family. danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617.
It's the Dana Show.
Oh, my goodness. So, coming up in our second hour, we're going to have more debate award recap, because it was pretty... Basically, they did try to outwoke each other, and we have awards still for the most annoying person ever, the most likely to beat the crap out of you while holding a martini, that award, best underdog moment, top stealth tyrant, biggest socialist, so we have a lot of those. Ooh, and most racist, we have that too. Those are the awards that we still have to give out. And also, we're going to open up some phone lines here in our going into our second hour, and we will have hate mail additionally. More of the Dana Show, a lot more. Stay with us. Go nowhere. Back after this.
This segment of the Dana Show podcast is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at keltecweapons.com.
But my problem with Vice President Biden, and Corey pointed this out last time, is every time something good about Barack Obama comes up, he says, "Oh, I was there, I was there, I was there. That's me too." And then every time somebody questions part of the administration that we were both part of, he says, "Well, that was the president." I mean, he wants to take credit for Obama's work, but not have to answer to any questions.
Does he, though? Because he didn't take credit for the putting the kids in the cages. So he didn't do that. That was a really weird part of the debate. That was Julian Castro going after Joe Biden, and they were fighting over who is the individual that actually is taking over Barack Obama's legacy. Welcome back to the show, our second hour. And you can find me online at DLash on Twitter, Official Dana Lash on Facebook as well. Now, coming up later, actually at the bottom of our hour, meaning at 30 after, we are going to talk to the Texas state lawmaker Briscoe Kane about the accusation that Beto O'Rourke leveled against him, and that he says that Briscoe Kane threatened him in a tweet. This after Beto O'Rourke threatened law-abiding firearm owners all over the country that he was going to go and just take all their guns. So we're going to get to all of that, and he will he'll be up at the bottom of the hour. So, and then we're going to be working here some of your calls in to sort of kind of get your all's idea as to what you, if you guys watched the debate or not, which if you did, I'm very proud of you. You are a good person. Thank you for not having me be alone on this. Okay, so and 844-344-DANA is the number to join the program, 844-344-DANA. Now, to that point, and we are recapping the Democrat primary debate, which was like 5,000 hours long. And I have a couple of other stories to touch on as well. And this one is pretty crazy. So Melania Trump has been criticized over the outfit that she wore on 9/11. She cannot, I almost can't even believe this headline, but it is what it is. So the story is that, and her spokesperson has lashed out, by the way, and just said it is ridiculous and it's offensive, etc. So what happened was the president tweeted on Wednesday a photo of himself and the first lady, right? And he tweeted them at the Flight 93 National Memorial in Pennsylvania. And it showed the back of them. They were hand in hand and they were there at the memorial. And Melania Trump, the first lady, was wearing this navy blue coat. It was a Hervé Pierre, but it's a long navy blue coat. And it had some white stitching. Now, it had white stitching on the back, right where the coat in the middle, where the coat splits. So that's, you know, if you can sit down, you can have movement of legs, all that stuff. And it had some white stitching. And then it had a tab on the back, which is, it's just basically, it was a regular coat, right? But the way that the stitching was, everyone was saying that she was wearing a coat that featured a plane flying into the skyscraper. And that's which, and by the way, Kane and Steve, I shared with you the image that the president shared at the memorial. It's just it has white stitching all over it, and it has white stitching on the back of the coat, and that's where the coat splits so you can walk, right? Because it goes past your knees. And then it has a tab on it, which I have a coat that's similar to this. And everyone's saying that she purposely wore it, and it's supposed to be a plane flying into a tower. And it is not. It is the stupidest thing. Stephanie Grisham, her spokesperson, said this is the dumbest thing. She just said it was ridiculous. Thoughts?
Because it is ridiculous. I'm looking at it right now. That tab you're saying, it looks like it's just like a button thing or
yes.
something.
It's so you can, it's like a, sometimes it's Velcro, sometimes it's a
zipper.
No, sometimes it's Velcro, sometimes it's a snap. It's a thing if you want to keep that flap, if you want to close the flap, if you don't want to. I mean, that people don't understand apparently how garments work.
Yeah, most long coats are like this. Even for guys, there's a spot for guys in their long coats for this. So I think this is just people trying to find gold where there's no gold.
Yes. She is so abused by everyone. And it is really awful how just awful people can be to her. But this, it is just stitching on a coat. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's just stitching on a coat. But people so desperate, I guess, to try to find something to, I can't imagine. I mean, there were people tweeting, did anyone see that? Is that supposed to be? No, it's stitching on the flap of a coat that is designed for movement since it goes below the wearer's knees. Oh my gosh.
And that tab looks nothing like a plane.
And then these people are the ones that would make fun of Trump by saying that he's unsophisticated. Just pointing that out. Right. Just, it's so insane. Audio soundbite 7, the debate last night. Joe Biden says, he has a new way of dealing with crime.
Nobody should be in jail for a nonviolent crime. As when we were in the White House, we released 36,000 people from the federal prison system.
So what, Madoff should go free? Madoff shouldn't have been charged, right? Right? Is that what he's saying? Manson technically didn't take part in any violence, so should Manson be freed? Should he have been freed before he kicked the bucket?
Well, like Manafort.
Yeah, what about Paul Manafort? That's a great idea. So wait, you're saying Paul Manafort shouldn't be in jail, right?
That's what I'm hearing.
Mike Flynn shouldn't be charged.
That's what I'm hearing.
And Roger Stone and all those people, none of those individuals, because that's what he's saying.
None of them belong in jail.
Oh, look at that. I mean, he's just deciding to... that's not how that works, though, because there's no such thing as like a victimless crime. I just reject that.
He's going to be his worst enemy as we lead up here to 2020. I'm thinking these gaffes are more and more looking like.
Can you please get the audio that I put in Slack just a little bit earlier? Because he was, so Joe Biden was in, where is he? He's campaigning somewhere. He's back campaigning again. And he apparently, well, it's not great. I think that he doesn't realize where Guyana is. And, and he was asked a question and he was discussing it, giving an answer, and it just ended up being really awkward.
Thank you for being here, Mr. Okay. Vice President. Growing up as a child in Guyana, my grandfather used to tell us stories that God made the United States. He told us about the wonders and freedoms in this country. I live my life striving to become an American citizen, and I'm proud to have achieved that goal. As president, what will you do that future grandfathers will continue to share the stories of our great nation?
I've been to Ghana. I've been all through Africa.
Oh, my gosh. Somebody doesn't watch Gold Rush.
Guyana.
Somebody doesn't watch Gold Rush. I mean, that's just... Somebody call Todd Hoffman, because that is... So if you don't know where Guyana is, it's actually in South America, and it's right by Venezuela.
Is that a separate continent?
It's a whole separate giant piece of land.
I'm just checking.
It's across the blue stuff from the other piece of land.
Got it.
That, yeah. Totally, totally different continent. But, you know, Trump's dumb or something. I don't know. Is that... I think this is just kind of who Biden is. I don't think that's not an old person thing.
I think it kind of is, though.
I don't think it is.
I don't know.
I mean, Guyana is very different from Ghana.
Yes, very, very much, actually.
So, I mean,
maybe he didn't hear the I part of the
I think
Guyana.
That's, yeah, I think that that's
give him
possible.
The benefit of the doubt there.
I think it is possible that he didn't hear it. It's just amazing to me that they're holding up Elizabeth Warren. She literally pretended to be a minority to get a job and to further herself professionally. And everyone's like, but Biden, it looked like his teeth fell out at the debate. But you ignore the white woman that literally skinwalked for how many decades? She pretended to be a minority. She pulled a Sean King. By the way, have you seen that? Oh,
I saw that. I saw the headline. I didn't see the story.
I don't think anybody knows who Sean King is. Do they, though? Do they know?
I know that we do. We've done several stories.
So Sean King is like a grievance hustler, right?
Oh, yeah.
And DeRay is the guy who works with the Soros groups, and he basically goes and agitates, and he thinks this thing is a blue vest. Who was the character that he got mad at in some movie? Because the character, even though has worn a blue vest for longer than probably he's been alive. And DeRay was saying that they tried to copy my likeness or something. They were trying to say that it was racist or something. I don't even know. Because apparently he's the only person who's ever worn blue and also a vest. So, but Daily Wire has the story of Sean King, who was white growing up, and then now isn't. And DeRay McKesson, who I think he's just, again, a grievance monger, just like Sean King. They got into a fight, and DeRay McKesson accused Sean King of basically stealing from, I guess, the donations that people give for him to go do his whatever. Well, I don't know what the hell he does. Whatever it is that he does. I think all he does is complain on Twitter. I've never seen the dude do anything else. Right. And the only thing I've ever seen the DeRay guy do is go and try to agitate and then go to Twitter offices and wear a blue vest. I haven't seen him do anything else. So apparently, King created some group called Justice Together, and got a lot of money. And then, for instance, like he raised a $10,000 donation from a board member and a $17,500 grant. But then he said he returned 100% of the donations raised, but the $10,000 donation and the $17,500 grant disappeared or stopped appearing in records or something. And they said that there's no proof that he filed the correct taxes for Justice Together. There's no 990. There's nothing, you know, etc. And then they accused him of creating or taking credit for other people's work. So basically, you have two people who live on public attention accusing each other of stealing the other's public attention. That's just kind of how. So I'm just, I really have no lot to cast in this fight. So I'm just watching with popcorn. I just don't even care. Just going to sit back and watch. We have a lot to come still. We're going to go to the phones. We also have headlines coming up. And then the Texas lawmaker who Beto O'Rourke says threatened him. We talked to Briscoe Kane coming up after headlines. In the meantime, if you want a great audio experience and you want don't want to have to pay also like $1 trillion for overpriced and not as good sounding wireless earbuds, you need to check out the newest premium wireless earbuds on the market made by Raycon. Now, I personally have the Raycon E50s and I love mine. I forget what ones my husband has. His are the waterproof ones. His are the 100s, I believe. The Raycon wireless earbuds, though, I think that they're a game changer because, first off, they're not obnoxious. They don't have any goofy stem sticking out. They were not made to look ridiculously bigger so you could fit a big old obnoxious logo on there because they're sophisticated. You have sophistication and you have swagger. And sophistication is swagger grown up with class, and so that's what these are. The Raycon wireless earbuds, they are comfortable. They come with a number of different sized gel pads, and you can snap those onto the earbuds and get a perfect fit, and it also provides an extra layer of noise cancellation. I take mine to the gym. I take phone calls with them. I have worn them on planes. I'm getting ready to take them because I have a lot of travel coming up next month, and I have a couple of red eyes too, so I'm really going to be relying on them a lot. But their wireless earbuds are fantastic. I think they sound better than the overpriced ones that you see everybody have. They're better. I think they have a full range of whether it's from bass to treble. My husband's an audiophile and he's annoying to watch movies and listen to things with, but he really likes his, so that says a lot. BuyRaycon.com/Dana is where you can go to get 15% off of your order for these premium wireless earbuds that are not as obnoxiously priced as the posers on the market. BuyRaycon.com/Dana and get 15% off. As conservatives, we stand together to fight for our freedoms. And while we have far more members at Patriot Mobile than a Joe Biden campaign rally, we need you to join us today to support your values. Patriot Mobile provides reliable nationwide cell phone coverage. Keep your phone number, bring your own phone, or buy a new one. For a limited time, you can buy a Moto Z3 Play for only $10 a month and get one free when you activate two new lines of service. This is not fake news. You can buy a Moto Z3 Play and get one free. This feature-rich phone has a large screen, high-quality camera, extended battery life, and an expandable storage option. With unlimited plans starting as low as $25 a month, don't wait. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based team at 877-367-7524. You'll love speaking with patriots that passionately believe in freedom of speech, the Second Amendment, and the sanctity of life. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their team at 877-367-7524.
Spanning coast to coast and all over Flyover Nation.
The Dana Show.
So, like, I have the lyrics in front of me and I can't. It's just not. We were talking about this. It's 90s time. Let's go to the phones before we got some headlines. We got Greg calling in from the beautiful state of Oklahoma. They have great gun laws there. Line two. Greg, welcome to the show. Happy Friday.
Hi, Dana. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
I was going to ask
me having you. It's Friday.
Remember that movie Striptease where Burt Reynolds played that congressman and he covered himself in Vaseline? Does that not remind you?
Oh, I think because Steve goes, he's got a Burt Reynolds reference. I had every other person, every other character in my head but that one. Go ahead.
And also, did you hear that there was a petition in Oklahoma to stop the constitutional carry from taking place on November 1st and it fell short? The attorney general just announced that it was way short, so constitutional carry is a go. No.
Wow, I did not know that.
Constitutional carry in the center state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I wish that, honestly, I mean, we, with all of the different changing laws and everything else, it's purposefully complex. We just need reciprocity with it now, with honestly, without the licensing, but that's a whole other thing. But I'm going to have to look that up because I am not actually familiar with that character. Greg, you got me on one Burt Reynolds character, believe it or not, and I love me some Burt. Greg, God bless you. I appreciate you calling in. We got some headlines. Let's kick it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Despite what folks say, there are polls showing that actually gun control support is trending downwards. A new piece over at the Free Beacon looked at the Quinnipiac and ABC Washington Post poll, wherein respondents were small samples were asked about the gun control debate in America and specific proposals. Both polls showed a general downward trend in support for any new measures, even in the immediate aftermath of the massacres in Texas and Ohio. And I think probably it's because people realize that gun homicide is down and it has been decreased by over 48% since 1993, which was its highest point. Mississippi students walk out of class in protest after officials said a prayer group at the school could no longer be held in the school during school hours. High school students in Tylertown, Mississippi are protesting after school officials moved their religious program after school. On 9/11, students walked out of their classroom in protest, and they asked these officials to reinstate the group called First Priority back during school hours. Walthall County's superintendent said First Priority is not being targeted and that no student-led organizations can meet during school hours, but the students say they're not going to attend class until the rule is reversed. Good on these students, because that's part of their spiritual health. Up next, Briscoe Cain, the Texas lawmaker who Beto O'Rourke said threatened him, discusses how he made headlines last night. Stay with us.
Listen live around the world
at danaradio.com.
El Paso is your hometown. Some on this stage have suggested a voluntary buyback for guns in this country. You've gone further. You said, quote, Americans who own AR-15s and AK-47s will have to sell them to the government, all of them. You know the critics call this confiscation. Are you proposing taking away their guns, and how would this work?
I am. If it's a weapon that was designed to kill people on a battlefield, hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against our fellow Americans anymore.
Really, though, that was last night from the 3,000th Democrat primary debate. And that was Beto O'Rourke saying that, yes, in fact, that's what we're going to do, which, by the way, is kind of an about face. And even Ted Cruz noted this as well, because when he had previously gone back and forth with Beto O'Rourke, O'Rourke was on video saying, well, yes, you could keep your AR-15s. I mean, nobody wants to. He had said, quote, if you purchase that AR-15, if you own it, keep it, continue to use it responsibly. And then at another instance, he said, quote, if you own a gun, keep that gun. No one wants to take it away from you. At least I don't want to do that. And those are direct quotes. And then as he began to diminish in the polls and on stage with his own party, then that's when he decided he needed to reinvent his campaign. So he had a relaunch. Remember, he reset his campaign. And then he decided to become the passion candidate. Even before everything in Texas happened, he was trying to find some footing. And this is not the way for him to go about it, though. Which brings me to our next guest. Because last night, while Beto O'Rourke was saying he was going to take everyone's guns, someone, I mean, obviously he had a staff member using his account to tweet, but he had tweeted, and this was last night, quote, hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15. Well, then that was retweeted, quote tweeted, by a Texas lawmaker named Briscoe Cain, who has perhaps one of the most Texas names ever. And he retweeted it and said that, well, my AR-15 is ready for you, Robert Francis. And then O'Rourke was quick to retweet that and say, this is a death threat, representative. Clearly, you should own an AR-15, and neither should anyone else. Well, then we hear that Twitter apparently took Representative Cain's tweet down. And then there was questions from the Dallas Texas Tribune and Dallas Morning News as to whether or not the FBI was now investigating it. So we wanted to get the straight story from the man who seems to be like at the center of it all. And that is the Texas Representative Briscoe Cain himself, who joins us on the phone now. Representative, thank you for your time today.
Hey, Dana, love the show and love the work you do. Thank you for being a voice of reason in America.
Well, I appreciate that. Tell me about that. What did you tell me about this? Because you saw that he tweeted this. Obviously, I think you were watching the debate last night. Yes.
No, I actually was not. I was at a small concert of maybe some have heard, at least in Texas, a country music star from Texas, a guy named Roger Krager, and he was playing, and I saw someone texted me his tweet, and before I even assumed it was real, I went and kind of typed it in to see if he actually said that, and wow, he said it. And so, of course, we had to point out that, and the quote was actually, I said, my AR is ready for you, because for some reason he always wants to attack the 20 cal, but heck, you know, what about my AR-10 and other things? So I'd let him know.
Well, that's really, five less really ARs than the 15, though.
Yeah, there you go.
We have to let you know that, so that makes it more acceptable.
Yeah, even though it's a larger caliber, exactly. And then, of course, the unofficial motto of the state of Texas, right? And we'll have an anniversary here October 2nd. So it was October 2nd, 1835, the Battle of Gonzales, where the mm-hmm. famous come and take it flag is known. That's really what we were saying, right? And if Beto or Robert Francis or Bobby Frank, whatever, doesn't understand that, well, he's spent a little too much time in D.C. And I'm so glad mm-hmm. you pointed out how he's turned around on that, right? Because driving, of course, isn't a constitutional right, and I think we all remember, you know, that he fled the scene after hurting somebody. He wants to take away our guns, but, you know, for some reason, he's still able to drive them by alcohol. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, yes, so that was, and that, of course, was his DWI charge, and he, the police there at the time, they actually even came back when this became a bigger issue after he launched his campaign and said, he did try to flee the scene. To this, though, Because he retweeted it, he said that you were threatening him. Apparently, Twitter agreed. They took it down. And is the FBI, were you intending, and I'm asking you this just so you can address all of the people who are trying to tell everyone else what your intent was. Tell people what your intent was.
Oh, my intent was to let him know, if you want it, come and take it. Look, this is Texas and America, and thank God we've got things enshrined in our Constitution. I'm so glad our founding fathers realized that thing needed to be amended and remind the world that this is a right they can't touch. And it's, of course, in the Texas Constitution as well, to remind people that everybody has this right to keep and bear arms, the lawful defense of themselves and of the state, to kind of reminding people that it's there not just for self-defense, but to prevent a tyrannical government from making us all serfs. And of course, it wasn't a threat. He knows that. He's an attorney, I believe. That's silly. It's not your threat. And of course, the FBI is not called because they know it's not a threat. Every police officer I've talked to, their friends are all laughing about it because they know it's not a threat. For Pete's sake, the Supreme Court's long settled that concept of much worse things. But actually, it points to another problem going on, is that people try and use the law to silence dissenters in America, and I will not bow down or kneel down to it. I've not deleted the tweet, so I'm still waiting for Twitter to reauthorize me to go back on.
So your account, actually, you're, I guess, in like a suspension mode at this point?
Yeah. Yes. And it's the first time, I know other people get it done a lot. You've probably had yours suspended before, huh?
Yeah. Yes. And congrats. Some people get suspended for far less. So the FBI, despite what's been the speculation from media online, the FBI has not called you. You have not been visited by anyone. And you're just still waiting to see if you have to delete your tweet yourself. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. No, the only people that have visited are people checking on me and my family and the officers that are currently protecting my wife and children from death threats from these very peaceful liberals, you know, that.
Wait, so you've received, so with all of this, your family has actually received real legitimate threats in response to this?
Yes. They're so nice, aren't they? It's amazing. They're such tolerant people.
And so you actually have to have law enforcement right now with your wife and kids.
Yes. Yeah. But it's okay. I signed up for this, my kids didn't, so it's always terrible when people want to bring in people's family. We see them do that to our president all the time, where they talk about their family. That's despicable, isn't it?
Well, it should never end up that way. And my thought on this when I saw his tweet, because he tweeted out quite a bit. I mean, that was like one of many instances where he was discussing coming for people's firearms. But the way that I had been looking at it is, when you say that you're going to take someone's lawfully owned property, that you're going to show up and take their things that they lawfully own, That is, to me, a statement of promised action. And it seems as though it's lawless violence itself.
Exactly. That's the problem. He wants to take away a constitutional right. Are you kidding me? I mean, they might as well say they want to silence our speech much more, because it's the thing that allows us to even protect our speech. Right. Yeah, the table needs to be turned. And one of the things even reminds us of these discussions of red flags laws, which are crazy, that this is the exact thing that people are calling for, going, oh, someone said something scary. We should, you know, without due process, take away their rights away without even knowing. I mean, this is a prime example of why we must not allow this to happen here in Texas, and hope other people stand up in their state legislatures and the U.S. Capitol and stop this madness.
The way that I and others, because I remarked on this on social media about your what you were being accused of, to me it seems as though when you say that you are going to defend yourself from a promised action of lawless, what I could only imagine would it be force, that isn't a threat. But what worries me is that you have lawmakers saying, which I think that what O'Rourke said actually was pretty threatening, that to me would qualify as a threat. And I don't know why anyone would be defending what seems to be a state-sanctioned threat.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, he's a failed politician, and he knew it wasn't a threat, and he's just using it for political gamesmanship. And I think he's been in D.C. a little too long, and hopefully the American people wake up and realize this is all a waste of time, and we reelect President Donald Trump in 2020.
Two last quick questions for you, and I know that you're now everyone wants some of your time today. Has the O'Rourke campaign reached out to you privately at all?
I have no idea if they've reached. No. The answer is no, but it's possible. But right. No.
The second one is
red text.
Right. The second one is with respect to some of the proposals in the state of Texas. I spoke with the Attorney General Ken Paxton the other day. He was very much against red flag laws, and he was questioning how anyone could enforce them. I know that the governor has kind of been, I think, waiting to see what Texas lawmakers do. But the lieutenant governor, Dan Patrick, has come out in favor of things like universal background checks. What are your thoughts on this, and where do you stand on those issues?
Yeah, well, look, I do want to remind our Republican officials and lawmakers of what the platform of the Republican Party of Texas says. It's about 10 issues, and it is very clear that the delegates to the 2018 Republican Party Convention, the grassroots, those who helped us all get elected as Republicans, have made clear no expanded background checks, no red flag laws, no new gun regulations, and we even explained that those things are dangerous and harmful, and they're bad for liberty. Bad for Texas.
There you go. Texas State Legislator Briscoe Kane, we appreciate your time today on this, and also looking out for individual liberty. And it's just a shame that I hate to hear that your wife and kids have to be under police watch, and hopefully people can get some sense about them there a little bit. Thanks for your time.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Take care. We have more to come, and we're also going to be opening up phone lines. 844-344-DANA is the number to join the program, and we will have our discussion with the legislator here coming up in addition on the podcast, but I'll also put it up on Facebook and Twitter, and we'll have it up on our YouTube account as well. We have a lot more to come, including some more debate awards to hand out. But in the meantime, CarShield is a program you and your family need to get. It's extended vehicle service protection for your automobile because, well, it can be really expensive to fix these cars nowadays. Everything is so technologically advanced and computer driven. We have family members who work in this industry, and they have to constantly go through training just to keep up with all of the latest advancements with motor vehicles. So it can be pretty pricey. CarShield, however, makes it affordable, and they make the process of fixing your car for a covered repair incredibly easy. Here's the thing. You get 24/7 roadside assistance, and while your car is taken to the shop, you get a rental car while your car is being fixed. Now, your car, if you needed to get fixed, can go to your favorite mechanic, someone you trust, or the dealership to do the work. It's your choice. So if your car has 5,000 to 150,000 miles, it does not mean you have to pay high repair bills. CarShield administrators have paid out close to $2 billion in claims. They're ready to help you. So get covered by the ultimate and extended vehicle protection like I've done. Call 800-CAR-6000, mention code Dana, or visit CarShield.com and use code Dana to save 10%. That's CarShield.com, code Dana, or 800-CAR-6000, mention code Dana, a deductible may apply.
This portion of the Dana Show is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at KelTecWeapons.com.
I really like the song. I just almost want to sit and listen to it. I like Billy Corgan. I've always liked him. I saw Zwan when they even played too. I've seen Smashing Pumpkins when I was in high school. I saw Zwan when I was in college. Yeah. I love me some Billy Corgan. Love Billy Corgan's work. Okay, we got Florida Man. Let's kick it.
It's time for Florida Person. It's time to check what Florida is up to.
God bless you, Florida. I'm going to try to get through this. Florida man attempts to outrun police helicopter in stolen golf cart. A suspected car thief failed in an attempt to outrun a police helicopter in a golf cart. Police in Florida arrested Jerome Iman after a, quote, auto theft crime spree in Martin County, which involved several suspects. A group of men burglarized a number of vehicles before making a getaway in a car stolen from, I love how British people say, petrol station, which they later crashed. The 25-year-old suspect then made off on foot, bursting out of a wooden area at the Hammock Creek Golf Club in Palm City. He stole a cart from bewildered golfers after telling them that he had a gun. The suspect later told police that he took the cart because, quote, he thought he could make a faster getaway, end quote. Newly released aerial video shows Mr. Inman surrendering to officers not far from the seventh hole of the course on Saturday. He was charged with Grand Theft Auto and remains at the Martin County Jail. A second suspect was also captured and charged. Yeah, that's, I don't know how fast they go, but they don't go that fast, right? They're not, yeah, they don't go that incredibly fast. Okay, moving on here. A Florida man shoots a music video inside police headquarters without their knowledge. I have no idea how one would even do that. I don't know how that would happen. So this individual, Leo Affairs, they say that South Florida rapper Leo Little was sitting on the ground next to a Broward County Sheriff's Office patrol car, his hands seemingly handcuffed behind his back, and he danced through the lobby after actors apparently walked him in, and apparently the Adventura Police Department never signed off on the production of what he was actually doing, which was a music video. The song was called Bus. They haven't charged him, but everyone was wondering, how did you have someone filming a music video in your lobby? This is going to be the story to end all stories right here, ladies and gentlemen. We have found the Florida man story. A Florida man's $128,000 Bugatti Veyron is actually a Mercury Cougar. I didn't give enough time to the story yesterday, and my husband tells me that the Bugatti Veyron is actually $3 million car.
Oh, is it that much?
He said, that's what he said. Is it that much?
I don't know. I think in this story, I thought it was like closer to 120 something thousand, but
I don't know. But what happened,
the Cougar price,
is he literally pieced together it was on Craigslist. And I mean, the drive calls it a Cougatti. And it also appeared, I mean, literally they were trying to sell it on Craigslist and Car Export America. They said they were trying to sell it for $128,000, $12,000 more than what you'd spend on a Mercedes GT coupe. I don't know. I don't know anything about cars. I know as much about cars as football, except for Challengers. I know everything about Challengers because that's what I want. They said that the Cougar fan site, CougarDB, said because they fabricated the speedometer and they tried to make it look like it could go way faster. And then they just put Bugatti decals over all of the Cougar decals. And they took the clock from a Chrysler 300 and they Bugatti'd it up, but they didn't remove the Chrysler logo when they added the EB emblem. And they said that the console was crusty and the interior never looked like it was cleaned ever. And the leather seats didn't actually match the console and it was just really weird. And they ended up eventually being called out for it. But yeah, that's insane. That's dedication. I didn't even know you could get conversion kits like that. And why would you do that?
I don't know.
Who spends that amount of time doing that to a Mercury Cougar? I mean, he made himself a little Cougatti. A Florida woman scammed $1.6 million convincing a Texas woman that there was a curse on her family and she needed the money to lift the curse. NBC2 had the story in Florida. She eventually did get in trouble and arrested for fraud. And she looks crazy. Don't trust people with crazy eyes. Third hour next.
They said, I'm going to issue an executive order. Biden saying there's no constitutional authority to issue that executive order when they say I'm going to eliminate assault weapons, saying you can't do it by executive order any more than Trump can do things when he says he can do it by executive order. Does the vice president have a point there?
Some things you can. Many things you can't.
Let's let the senator answer.
Well, I mean, I would just say, hey, Joe, instead of saying no, we can't, let's say yes, we can.
Let's be constitutional. You got a constitution.
And yes, we can, because I'll tell you something.
That was a very interesting exchange. Welcome back to the show. Third hour of the program. We're going to go to the phones here in a minute. 844-344-DANA. Now, that was Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, obviously. She, even though they say the same things, if you are really listening to Biden speak, Biden is, and it is not politically advantageous for me to say this, by the way, but I'm just calling it as I see it. Biden is a remnant of a past Democrat moderate trend that ended in the late 90s. And you can tell that he is at odds with that because the party's future is socialism. Now, you can argue otherwise, but every single policy perfectly fits that description. And so Biden, when you look at his policies and his healthcare policy, by the way, all of their healthcare policies are the same. They are all an interim to having total, complete government-run care. Kamala Harris tries to argue otherwise, but the only difference between her plan and everyone else's is that hers takes a decade longer to come to fruition. That's it. So when you hear Biden say things like, oh, he's going to ban this and that, he's trying to compete with the other very far left individuals. And he does this with health care. He does it with energy. He does it with trade. And he does it with certain aspects of foreign policy. But it was very odd to see the past things that he has said with regards to things like the Second Amendment. And then when Kamala Harris is going far left, he doesn't follow her there in this line of thinking. He is saying, well, we have the Constitution. We have the Constitution. You can't do that. He's trying to compete with her while also checking her. And the crowd did actually, they didn't react negatively to it, but they weren't enthusiastically applauding. But it is, do you understand what I'm saying? I think that whole moment, and also where they were discussing healthcare, if you ever really wanted to get a really good look at what is happening within the soul of the party, there it is. Because with healthcare, you had Amy Klobuchar, who was really kind of playing the moderate role. And then with this, Biden was in a way, as a way to compete with her. Klobuchar, I really do believe, even though her plan ends up being the same, she and Biden were the more moderate people there. But I told you once, and I'll tell you again, you're never going to have another moderate Democrat as a presidential candidate. If Joe Biden is the nominee, I'm going to be kind of surprised. But at the same time, I don't think I will be. The only way that he can lose it is if he screws it up. And I'm still calling Tulsi Gabbard as his VP. Notice that she's not out of the conversation. Even though she's not on stage, she inserts herself into everything. That is someone who is vying for a role. I'm telling you now, if Biden's the nominee, Tulsi Gabbard is the VP. And I will tell you this. with all due respect to her service, and I'm speaking politically, she is the most dangerous candidate Democrats could ever put forward. You think Barack Obama had bad policies. Y'all haven't seen nothing. You all don't even know. She is a socialist, but she is very savvy. She's one of the savviest politicians I have seen in a long time. She makes Claire McCaskill look elementary. And Claire McCaskill is a very crafty politician. She hates me. I'm not a fan of her, but she is one of the craftiest politicians out there. She is very politically intelligent. She knows strategy. So does Tulsi Gabbard. Notice, Tulsi Gabbard's been on Fox tons of times. Conservatives even think that there's some things about her that they like. But listen to what she discusses and the policy she promotes. I'm telling you guys. Now, it's going to be Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren till the end. And someone was, I taped with Jesse Waters earlier, and he was asking whether or not I think that this could end up going to like some kind of brokered convention. I don't think so. Because I think at some point it's going to be Biden versus Warren. If socialists have to choose between Sanders and Warren, they're going to pick the younger female version of Bernie Sanders. And that's Warren. Now, Biden is better for Trump than Warren. Even though Warren somehow has been able to survive even pretending to be a minority. She's Teflon. Nothing sticks to her. She has a very Clinton-esque quality in the same way that nothing stuck to him. And she has a non-aggression pact with Bernie Sanders. So it's been very interesting to watch this. But if she ends up being the one that Trump has to debate, and I've discussed this with you before, that's going to be a tough debate for Trump, because she comes off as the very just soft-spoken mama. And that is really the only way you will one-up Trump. You're not going to be more aggressive than him. There's no candidate that will out-aggressive him. None. The only one maybe would have been Tulsi Gabbard. Because it's hard for women to do it without appearing shrill. So the way to counter that is by going the Elizabeth Warren route. And that is hard for Trump to beat. So optically, anyway. So that's what we're looking at. I'm going to go to the phones here in 1 minute. I want to give one more debate. I want to give another debate award out. Because Pete Buttigieg, and I'm gonna say this about him too. I think that Pete Buttigieg, depending on what he does, he's not going to win this. He's not going to end up in the top three or four of this. But depending on what he does when his term as mayor is over, is going to dictate how he's going to go forward politically. If he decides to stay there politically, I think that he actually may have a real future in that party. The problem is that people are not ready to walk that journey with him because they don't know him that well. You know, you can't really say that Barack Obama came out on the scene super fast because he was out there in what, 2014, giving the keynote. And he had been really promoted by the party. He was groomed by the party. And people are interested in Pete Buttigieg. He attracts the socialists and the moderates on the Democrat side, but they are not willing to go that distance with him yet because they don't know him enough. So, but this was, I think he had actually some, I think the debate last night was his strongest moment, but I just could not help but feel like, you know, when he was given his closing remarks, it was, "Hey guys, I'm gay." And everyone's like, "Okay, we know and we don't care. Talk to us about foreign policy and natural rights and everything else." I mean, it's not, you know, that's like a debate strategy from like 1995. Listen to this. Audio soundbite 9. This would be the best "don't forget he's gay" moment.
"More allies out of the Iran deal, out of the Paris Climate Accords, and on trade, 28. He's decided to take on
number
China,
9 for the awards.
While at the same time,
audio soundbite 28.
You know, as
there we go.
Military officers serving under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Clinton, and as an elected thing. Official in the state of Indiana when Mike Pence was governor, at a certain point." When it came to professional setbacks, I had to wonder whether just acknowledging who I was going to be the ultimate career-ending professional setback. I came back from the deployment and realized that you only get to live one life, and I was not interested in not knowing what it was like to be in love any longer. So I just came out.
Okay, so I know he was trying to tell that personal story so he could get that empathy factor, empathize with the audience, really humanize himself more than the media does, you know, candidates. But it just seemed like, okay, we know. And we're not, that only, again, that's like 1995. All right, let's go to the phones. 844-344-DANA is the number to call. Don calling in from Florida on line one. Don, happy Friday. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Dana. First off, I love you. Thank you, sir. Second lady, why can the government think they can take my AR-15 when they can't get the AR-15 out of criminals' hands?
Yeah, well, that's the whole, I think, question about the argument that, well, why is it if a criminal is going to criminally come into possession of and criminally carry a firearm, why is that the argument then to disarm the law-abiding who are responsibly using their private property that happens to be the same thing that the criminal illegally came into possession of? I think that's a good point.
Yeah, I should be armed as well as they are.
Exactly. I mean, when everyone sits here and talks about magazine capacity, think about it like this, Don. In Dayton, that horrible murderer in Dayton, it took six cops over 58 rounds to neutralize that murderer. So why shouldn't we be able to have the same ability if that much force is required to do the same?
Excellent. Very good. Thank you, Dana.
There you go. I appreciate you calling in, Don. God bless you. We have more to come. It is Friday. We're going to have some hate mail a little bit later on. And we're going to, I still have some social justice warrior stuff to get in as well. We got all of that and a bit more. By the way, if you go to official Dana Lash on Facebook, I have the link for audio right up there. If you want to go and listen to our interview from last hour with the Texas lawmaker Briscoe Cain, he's the one that Beto O'Rourke says threatened him, etc. Very interesting what Cain says, because he said that his, not Mike Cain, but Briscoe Cain, he says that his remark was simply it was really honoring the Battle of Gonzales, which is coming up on October 2nd. By the way, if you don't think that's a big thing with Texans, y'all don't know Texans. Oh my gosh. Because you have to take a 1 year of Texas history. It is sacred here, especially if you are a native Texan. We have some very dear friends who are like, have been in Texas since before Texas, their families apparently were even, it was even part of the United States and it's still the Republic. And it is a sacred thing. It is, so people might, you know, kind of brush that off. That is, I think, some cultural ignorance to do so. We'll talk more about that. As we get going, my cell phone service is Patriot Mobile. And also it's on my Polar thermos that I have too. And with my name on it. I love Patriot Mobile. I pay less than what I do with my previous cell phone service. And this is the only conservative cell phone service in the country, folks. Think about that. Every single time y'all pay your bills for, you know, texting your loved ones and making phone calls and yelling at people on Facebook or going on Pinterest, you're putting money in the pockets of Planned Parenthood and gun control groups and groups that fight for amnesty. I'm not making any of this up. In this era of information, it's quite easy to go to Open the Books and you can see, or Open Secrets, you can see it, because of the way their tax structure is. When you donate like that, you got to make it public and disclose it, and it's all right there. That's one of the big reasons why I switched to Patriot Mobile, because I'm funding the people that are trying to take my rights. So I switched. It's been like 5 years. I have amazing nationwide, crystal clear, reliable coverage, amazing U.S.-based representatives, so I can get them anytime. I can, and I don't have I've never had to wait long forever either, and it's not just because I talk about them on air. They also have a ton of different deals on a number of different phones, including right now the Moto Z3 Play for only $10 a month. Buy one, get one for free when you activate two new lines of service. And you can get unlimited plans, which is what I have, starting as low as $25 a month, so don't wait. Switch today. They make it easy. Keep your number, get a new one, whatever. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 877-367-7524. That is patriotmobile.com/Dana.
Follow along on Twitter at DLash.
And official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So, looking at some of the latest headlines that we have here. Let me open this up. This is the one I wanted to get. This is from CBS Channel 7. A North Carolina woman used a rose pruner to castrate her husband, according to a 911 call. Now, that's awful. Her last name is also Frabutt. F-R-A-B-U-T-T. Victoria Frabutt, was arrested at the couple's home on Murdoch Road outside of Newport in North Carolina. She was in court Wednesday morning of this week. She was crying when the judge asked her about her malicious castration and kidnapping charges. She told the 911 operator that she used a pruner. The operator asked what kind of pruner, and she goes, well, actually, it's good for pruning roses. She was referring to James Frabutt as her soon-to-be ex. They increased her bond from $100,000 to $500,000. They think she's a flight risk. Her husband is still hospitalized, but police have not said anything at all about a motive. But when the operator asked about her husband's specific injuries, the woman replied, "Well, that would be his favorite part of himself," she said. Oh my gosh, I'm telling you, golly. All right, moving down the line here. The president says that Nancy Pelosi knows exactly what she's doing on impeachment after Democrats vote themselves new investigative powers, despite the split over putting the president on trial, which was very interesting when Kamala Harris said the only reason he hasn't been impeached is because you have to immediately start the process first in the House. Why don't they do it? There you go. Stay with us. We got a lot more coming up next.
The Dana Show is now available on demand. Subscribe on iTunes and get full episodes delivered right to your phone.
At DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook, where we're going to be playing some audio here. All of a sudden, all the technical stuff started going crazy. It's Friday. We haven't fallen back in time, daylight savings time or anything, computer equipment. So, this was last night during the debate. This was one of those moments where I'm like, can we stop doing this? This was Mayor Pete, Audio Soundbite 13.
Do you think that people who support President Trump and his immigration policies are racist?
Anyone who supports this is supporting racism.
Wait, what? Any of the policies, anything like, see, this is what people are so tired of. We're so tired of constantly being told that simply believing a certain thing about lawful immigration or trade or the economy or healthcare, that somehow is violating identity politics and people need to be shamed for it. Because how dare you go against the grain, or it's somehow hateful. But it's immigration law, and entering legally is not a hateful thing. And I'm tired of it. The intellectual vapidness or the absence of any intellectualism in this debate, because you can't have a conversation about it without someone trying to immediately invalidate anything you say by assuming it comes at a point from a perspective of prejudice. There's nothing. Because that ignores, first off, the diversity already existing in the United States. It also ignores the sentiments of so many people that I've met who immigrated into the United States legally and are wondering why it is that suddenly they had to go through the proper procedures, but other individuals do not. And I'm telling you, those people are the angriest about it. Because they feel like why aren't they as special, that they had to go through everything to be a part of the country's fabric, and they're Americans now. Why is it that other individuals, by way of breaking the law, whether it's a misdemeanor or not, that's still not the first gesture of good. That's not a gesture of good faith. If first impressions are anything, why is it that that's how they are rewarded? And I do think that just simply granting someone either a visa or whatever the status may be, having a legalized status after someone enters illegally, that's not the way to go. And it's really, I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of seeing these politicians just sink down to the lowest common denominator when it concerns arguments against the conservative, the independent, the Republican proposals for immigration. I think we can do better than that. And these are always the individuals that get so mad if, you know, oh, so-and-so's racist, so-and-so's mean, so-and-so's whatever. You can't just end, you can't just, your response to everything just can't be that it's racist. Because it completely steals any actual severity from things that are legitimately racist. Because there is still racism out there. There are still racist actions. To the expectation that someone do what everyone else does, no matter their country of origin, and enter legally, that isn't racist. That's law and order. And it's been equally applied because everyone is expected to do it. My gosh, I mean, I can't tell you how many white European friends that I that are of my acquaintance who have come from whether it is Sweden, whether it is Britain, Australia, Malta, that have come over to the United States, and it took them years and years and years to actually finally get. I have a friend from Britain who has been here for over 10 years, who is still not a citizen, but he's going to become one. And he asked if we would, and he lives in California, he asked if we would fly out and attend his naturalization service, which I think we're going to do because I've never been one to one before. And I think it's just a really cool thing to do, to see every, you know, who all is joining, you know, the American family. And there's something to that. I think I think expecting people to not follow the law does erode that American identity. And that American identity is that you can come from anywhere and you're an American. And as I said before, I can't go to France and be considered French. I can't go to Italy and be like, hey, I'm Italian now, or I'm Spanish if by way of going to Spain, or I'm Greek by way of going to Greece, or I'm Japanese by way of going to Japan. But everyone entering the United States legally, becoming a citizen, they can be Americans because that's our identity. It is not skin color. It is not religion. It is that animating idea of freedom. That is our identity. That's what makes it different. And I think remarks like Mayor Pete's diminish and disrespect it. So we have a couple of other awards to give out for debate awards. I wanted to bring up this. And this most racist. This actually was listener Seth, his suggestion. And I would think that the award from the debate last night as to who is the most racist candidate would...
Drum roll?
Yes. I think it would go to... Actually, I think it would go to Bernie Sanders. Yes, and here's why. They were talking about the labor market and trade for quite a long time. But have you ever noticed, and I noticed this especially last night with Bernie, when he was talking about people who immigrated to the, who are coming to the United States, whether legally or not, the way that he, the context that he put it in, I thought if there was to be something that would get that most racist award, this would be it. Because anytime he has a discussion on immigrants, it's always talking about them like they are human commodities for the labor market. And he touched on this again last night in a couple of different answers. And one was a very long and drawn out, and he needed a throat lozenge, to be quite honest. Somebody should have given him a Luden's cherry lozenge. But he kept referring to, you know, people coming over here, and there are certain jobs that Americans are like shifting away from. I forget how he was trying to reword the jobs Americans won't do thing. And I sat back and I'm like, I am so tired of hearing people talk like this. Like, these people who are coming here are nothing more than human commodities for the labor market. That's it. Nothing else. The way that they, it just kept constantly, and the way that he would speak about them and the jobs that they would do, I have to ask, has he ever actually met a community of legal immigrants before? Has he ever met families that have come over here to the United States, become American citizens, and they create businesses? They, unlike Bernie, they actually work. You know, they work in the private sector, and they make their own money, and they actually become incredibly successful. They provide a service that's needed to their community, and then they have generations of other successful people who grew up seeing the matriarch and patriarch of their families creating all of this prosperity for their family, and that they're free to do it in the United States of America. I mean, has he ever been to like McAllen, Texas? Our Southern Command down there? Because there were so many amazing stories of people whose grandfathers immigrated legally, and they set the family base in McAllen, and they created all of these awesome businesses. And then, you know, the sons or daughters were trained up, and they go and they learn about business, and then they continue and expand. And I mean, just so many amazing stories. And I'm like, why is this never referenced by any of these candidates at the debate? Why is that? All right. Two other awards. The one of them, the most likely to beat the crap out of you while holding a martini, that would be Amy Klobuchar. Yeah. Now, you would say Kamala Harris because she's a cop. But see, that doesn't necessarily mean that. Amy Klobuchar's thrown things at her staff members.
And Kamala Harris looked like she had a couple martinis before the debate.
See, I think Amy Klobuchar is the one who's like, I'm going to, you know, have a sip of a martini. Wait, I'm sorry, you said something? What? She seems more no-nonsense to me than Kamala Harris. Isn't that weird? I don't know why that is, but she just gives that vibe. The best underdog moment. Audio soundbite 16. It goes to Andrew Yang. This was his best answer of the night. Listen to this.
My father grew up on a peanut farm in Asia with no floor, and now his son is running for president. That is the immigration story that we have to be able to share with the American people. If you look at our history, almost half of Fortune 500 companies were founded by their immigrants or children of immigrants, and rates of business formation are much higher in immigrant communities. We have to say to the American people, immigrants are positive for our economic and social dynamism, and I would return the level of legal immigration to the point it was under the Obama-Biden administration. I think we have to compete for talent, and I am the opposite of
that. But he was actually, I thought that was his strongest answer of the night. And I thought it was the best underdog moment of the evening. All right. And let's see. We had top stealth tyrant. That was submitted by Van Harvey. I would say that goes to Joe Biden. Joe Biden, top stealth tyrant. Because he kept trying to fashion his policies as being way more moderate than they actually are. Particularly healthcare. Because his healthcare policy is the same as everybody else's. And last but not least, the most annoying person ever, that goes to Robert O'Rourke. Yeah. Everything is guns, 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 ban them, ban them, ban them. Going to come and take them. And well, I mean, what do you think that means when you say that you're going to come and take somebody's stuff and you're in the government? I mean, hi, have you heard of Wounded Knee? When has that ever worked out well for anybody? Stop threatening people and then trying to hide behind the veil of government to do it. I'm just done. That's just irresponsible. All right, so
We have a word for our sponsors, remember? We have some sponsors.
Oh my gosh, wait, yes, thank you to our sponsors.
This was an exciting ceremony, by the way. So here we go.
Sponsored by Internet Explorer, Crocs, Life Alert, Hover Round, and Metamucil. Yes, the sponsors of the awards for the Democrat primary debate.
We really want to thank our sponsors.
There's the boomer fight there on stage. So, all right, we got some hate mail.
And now it's finally that part of the show where Dana monetizes the hate. All week, hateful posts, tweets, replies, and emails have been collected. The best of the best make the cut. It's Mailbag of Hate on The Dana Show.
Actual, this time, emails. And we got real emails from people who can't spell and can't probably do other things good as well. It's just very confusing for them. God bless them. So I'm not even, let's see here. Let me go to my special folder. And you guys know how we take the money from hate mail and, okay, we use it to go buy range ammo and put a little extra in the plate for Jesus. First up, somebody named Jay Quillard, and I'm not going to give their email address, but they're yelling at me in caps lock. Can I just show you this? Let me just show you.
Yes, please.
So it's this. It's all of that right there.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's all caps lock. So Jay Quillard, the subject, and I'm just going to say this with all of the grammar and spelling errors intact. The subject is this president.
Oh.
President. Okay. He writes, and I'm not going to read all of it because it's like 5,000 words of caps lock. Not even kidding. I guess he thinks he's James Joyce writing the last chapter of Ulysses, and it's all a run-on sentence. So he writes, Dana L., I listen to or burp on Fox News. All stupid. All you need is one or two guns to protect yourself if the Republican and this president don't do something on gun. They will lose everything in 2020. That is a fact. A fact. When you have percent of Americans from all sides that what universal background assault weapons, even members want this, does not get done in next few weeks. Republicans lose the Senate and a new president will be in office in 2020.
Just one gun, right?
Oh, and he's not done. In fact, another fact, a fact, I talked to a lot of people in Washington. Seriously, why? This president is as close to Russia and Putin and Korea. Nope. Good. Also, idiot. I mean, he sounds like a Skeksis. Also, idiot. I mean, anyway, you kind of get the idea. And he kept going on and on and on. He really doesn't like Trump. Apparently, he's obsessed with Trump's posterior, which he says is fat. And which, like, why did, really? You have three lines about that. And then he was talking about, he said, if you put lipstick on a pig, it's still pig lips.
What?
Thank you, Jay Quillard.
Hashtag science.
This is one of my most favorite things ever. That is one of the best, I think. That's a real good one. That is a real good one. And last but not least, Milt writes, subject pathetic. Obviously, you do not make it easy for people to respond to your bull. Burp. You are just another gun hack, a big money shill to attack citizens of the country who want true gun reform. I cannot fathom how you sleep at night spewing the crap you do to bolster gun sales in this country. Well, I sleep great because I have on my pillow, mypillow.com/Dana. Make sure you use my name, Dana is the promo code, because you'll get 50% off that My Pillow body pillow, which is now $29.99, down from $89.99. Anyway, thanks, Milt, for that. No, it is actually, I believe in the Constitution, and you can call into my radio show anytime. It's not your cowardice, isn't my fault. I make it super easy. All right. And I just made money off of you, too. So, yay. I know we have to get going. Before we do, though, really quickly, a big thanks to Super Beats. This segment of the Dana Radio Show brought to you by Super Beats Soft Chews. It's Chardonnay grapes with Chardonnay candy chews. Actually, it's not candy. Let me rephrase that. It tastes like it. So it's basically a healthy thing that's tricking you into thinking it's candy. So you eat it a lot and you get more health. Does that make sense? Because that's what it is. Super Beats Soft Chews gives you all the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats. But if you don't want to do the drink, you have two convenient delicious soft chews that you can take with you wherever you go. I already had two, and I have two more here because I had like 1,000 yesterday. But Superbeat Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, natural energy in the body. And also, it's been clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. So boost your heart health easily and on the go with Superbeat Soft Chews. Visit danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. When you buy two bags, you get a third one free. danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617.
It's the Dana Show.
Hmm. All right, folks. Official Dana Lash on Facebook, at D Lash on Twitter and Instagram, and of course YouTube and everywhere else. We have the interview with the Texas lawmaker. Yes, Briscoe Cain. I was trying to say Texas representative. My mouth was like, no, Briscoe Cain on the allegation by Beto O'Rourke that he threatened him, which didn't happen, folks. I'll be on Tucker Carlson tonight. Have a great weekend, and I'll be back behind the mic with you on Monday.